Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, Father, we just thank you so much for being here. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for this time. We thank you for our guests. And we just ask that you would cause this interview, this testimony, as it were, to be a blessing to those who hear it. Yeah. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you like that, everybody? We just went right into prayer this morning. And no introductions. We talk to God first. Yeah. How about that? But good morning, everybody. Good afternoon if you're listening by podcast, or good night. Or good morning if you're listening in the middle of the night to His Stories Broadcast. I'm here with Kevin Michelin. How's it going, Kevin?
Hey, good. How are you, Gil?
I am doing fine. Winter has descended here in South Bend, Indiana.
Yes. It's cold. It is. I'm not a big fan of cold.
No? Okay. Yeah. Even with the flannel?
The flannel makes it tolerable. Okay. I'm good with flannel, yeah.
Nice. Well, how was your past week?
Yeah, it was good. Thanks for asking. Except for around in the South Bend area, we have this thing called a permacloud. just this cloud all the time, you know. But there does something to me, you know, physically, but spiritually, I'm really, God is good. He's good. Really bringing me through some great healing. He heals the broken and all the time, and so I'm just grateful for what He's doing in my life. How's things with you?
You're doing good. You know, church is always an adventure. Lower attendance this week, but really powerful. You know, it's funny, moving to Sundays now, like we've been doing for the past couple of months, and it's just interesting, the whole Sunday dynamic. And, you know, people go, oh, man, it's cold. But I realize we serve a lot of people in the community downtown who walk.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know,
gotta get
it was that kind of weather. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to catch you on Facebook Live myself. I don't know. But it was all good. Really good weekend. And good time of fellowship. So,
Well, enough about us.
Right?
And so I'd like to bring in really a guest that I've been looking forward to. I look forward to all of our guests, but I've really been, sometimes you kind of go, oh man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And we got a gentleman who I've been able to meet for the last, now, I think at least year and a half, couple years, where through different revival meetings and things. And his name's Brent Paulus, and I am just so glad that you're here this morning. We are Gil and I, and I know the people who are listening are just love to hear what God has put on your heart. And so, Brent, thank you for being here. Appreciate that very much.
Well, thanks, Kevin and Gil. It's great to be here. And again, it's good to see you all again. It's been a little while since I've connected with you, but it's always a pleasure to spend some time with you both. So
wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, if we could start out just it's your journey, it's your life that God has given to you, and I've been able to read some up on you, and it's kind of fun. If you can just share a little bit of your life start. I know it was, you said it was in the country, so start there.
I'm a lifelong Michiana resident, so I've lived in Michiana my entire life. Grew up in a little town not far from here, Wakarusa, Indiana. My parents are farmers, so I'm from a farming background, as many people in this area are, and learned a lot of lessons on the farm. So I've got, you know, a couple brothers, and growing up on a farm, everybody's all hands on deck the time, and thankfully, I've been able to escape that lifestyle. I've realized pretty early on that,
Me.
90 degree, bale and hay weather, not for me. So
I was going to ask if it was really hard to leave the farm, you know, but obviously not. Yeah.
No, I told my parents at about 11 years old one day, coming in from working outside, I said, I think when I'm older, I'm going to work in an air conditioned office, put my feet up, and boss people around. One out of three ain't bad.
Right.
Yeah, at least I have an air conditioned office.
Right.
So. But that's kind of my beginnings. My parents, I grew up in a great Christian home. Several generations of following Christ in my family. Wow. Spent every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night in church. Mm. So was around believers for almost all of my life.
Wow.
And that obviously had an impact on me. But that's kind of my beginnings.
That's your beginnings. What a great beginning.
Cool.
That's
and so awesome. Obviously you left the farm, you left home. You went into riotous living, and you found yourself among pigs. Is that your testimony? Is that the direction you're going?
Well, it was a dairy farm, so, you know.
Dairy farm, right.
I was around pigs.
You're among the cows, but, yeah.
You know, so go through through high school and, you know, junior high, and just really started to realize that there were parts of my faith journey that had never become my own.
Yeah.
Mm. And there's a lot of things that, again, my background taught me. But based on, I think, my nature and my makeup, again, my flesh, but also just my wiring, my impression early on was that salvation was something to be earned, you know. Mm, yeah. So I had to work really hard. I had great grades in school, and just kind of pursued a life of working hard and being, you know, well-known in my community, and that attending church was just something that you did. And so, you know, I, a lot of benefits come from that, but it was also a process of realizing, you know, I had a salvation experience, you know, even as an early child that was really formed by something to be earned, something that I had to work really hard to do. And that's started a process that's, you know, still God's working in me on that, but it's a big part of my journey.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Why? I'm just going to ask a silly question, I guess, you know, because you hear the word grace, I'm sure growing up in church, you'd hear that, but, and I'm on that journey too, okay?
Yeah.
but why? What would you
know, it's such a combination of things. Uh-huh. I think my personality is one that, I'm a type A personality, so
get
earning
her down.
And making it happen are things like, I've got to do it, so that's a big part of it. Too, you know, my background and upbringing, like hard work was a part of it.
Yeah.
So just from the very earliest age, saw my dad getting up at 4 a.m. And until 6 p.m. was working hard. That's just a big part of my life in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, there were certainly parts of my church experience that taught me grace.
Yeah.
But it never really hit home for me. What always was hitting for me was the obedience side of things, which is important. I don't want to dismiss that at all. But grace never found a home in my heart till much later on.
Do you feel like, I don't know, I think you asked why, and I'm like, yeah, I did the same thing too. Like, I think a lot of people, even after they experience grace, their default is to settle back and to feel like they have to earn it again.
Yeah.
And someone told me that's why grace is so amazing, you know, because it's not our default.
Yeah.
But do you think that the church... I mean, we do it by default, but do you think the church maybe sometimes also encourages that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a part of all of us. And again, I think some of this is American culture. Like, American culture has always been really deeply steeped in the American dream. And that was again,
a huge
part of my life and formation. It's why I pursued accounting. Like, I knew it was a career that I could make a lot of money.
Right.
And I pursued for so many years of my life this American dream. And it was as God gradually... like began to break and take those pieces away in the grace moments where he did that I began to see that it was so much more than that. So, you know, culture is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. I think our flesh is a big part of that. We all want to, you know, feel like we have control over our situation. So, you know, that's it's hard to rely on grace when our flesh is telling us that we should be in control of things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And again, we've got an adversary in the devil that's really, really deceitful.
He's fighting hard to keep us down.
And tricking us and deceiving us too. So, you know, I think it's all of those things. And church culture can bring religion into the mix so quickly instead of this relationship and life with God. And I think I just found myself in the midst of that.
Yep. Mm, cool. Mm.
Well,
let me ask you this too. You talked about your upbringing, and you know, we everyone who's listening out there, we ask all our guests to kind of do this intake form and kind of get their a little bit of background about their story.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something. I'm going to get to that about the rich young ruler. So we got to hit that up. But even in our pre interview, you talked about I went through about 700 salvations actually. What's funny is growing up in a religious environment, I did too.
Yeah, same here.
My mom was one day coming home late from work, and I was like, "Oh man, she got raptured, Lord, please, if you're doing it like a phase two, take me
right
with
now,
you.
Yeah,
can I go on the second bus?"
So explain that.
Yeah,
the many whole situations much like that where I would come home and nobody would be in the house and I would have that, you know, that pleading cry. I guess the rapture happened and I missed the ticket.
Right.
But then also, like, just, you know, fear in different settings would cause me to do that. I remember this time of year is fitting for this, but we were going sledding at a hill, and I'm not an adventurous person by nature, probably why I chose accounting as my background for my education and development. But, you know, going down a sledding hill, I remember, like, praying in the car, like, Lord Jesus, I might, like, you know,
I might die.
So I need to make sure I'm all good with you. So forgive me and let me go to heaven with you.
A little fire insurance, if you would, please.
So again, several of those prayers all throughout my life because I didn't understand the radical nature of God's love for me and the meaning of grace and what it really meant to be a disciple and follower of Jesus and to have life with God. I didn't understand those things, which caused me to just, you know, make sure I was all prayed up when the time
prayed up. Time I like that. Yeah. Like insurance. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It was insurance paid up?
My salvation insurance. Exactly. Right. Yep.
Let me ask you something. You mentioned God's love. And I just recently, I kind of go on my own experience a lot of time, but we watched this, it was a Rich Mullins movie.
Yeah.
And he's this one particular part of the movie that this pastor gets up and he's talking about sort of a thou shalt do this and thou, you know, which is, they're all good. Okay. But then Rich Mullins in the movie gets up and he goes, you know, there's this song that just hit me really hard, and that's Jesus Loves Me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most precious songs. And it's unfortunate we just sing it in Sunday school for little kids. Can you explain a little bit to how Jesus loves you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kevin.
Question.
And I've got three little kids at home, ages 3 to 7, one more coming on the way here any day. So I'm excited about that.
Congratulations.
But that song, and seeing my kids sing it, and any kids sing it, really, any grown-up sing it, always hits home for me. Yeah. The other thing, somebody told me this a couple years ago, you know, the verse we almost all of us memorize first is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The person that was telling me this, I think, understands God's love maybe more than anybody else in my life. His name is Matt. He lives in Arkansas. But he told me, he goes, when you read that verse, remember it says, for God so loved the world. It's not for God loved the world. God
so loved
the world. And that, over the last couple of years, has I bring that back every once in a while and go, God so loved the world. And I'm part of that. So God's love is wide and deep, and it's why he never gives up on anybody, why he loves us unconditionally, why his grace extends even after we've, you know, first come into relationship with him, why it extends to continue our formation process, and why his forgiveness extends to not only things we've done in the past, but things we're going to do today. So there'll be a point today where I'll walk out of here, and I'll need God's forgiveness and his grace, both for, you know, my salvation, but also for my sanctification process going forward. But if you're, you know, out there listening and ever question God's love, like, take a minute and just reflect on the fact that no matter what you've done or what you will do, he loves you unconditionally. And that's incredible.
Yeah,
the maker of the universe loved you so much he sent his son to die for you. And if that wasn't enough, he put his spirit inside your chest. Like, when you come into a relationship with God, he puts his spirit inside your chest.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. If that's not love, I don't know what it is.
Right.
it is crazy love. It's radical love that he would care enough to consistently be with me.
Yeah.
Because I do so many stupid things. You know? I really do.
You're not by yourself. Kevin.
Amen.
Amen. Show of hands.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we've been talking for the past few minutes with Brent Paulus. Yeah. We are just kind of unpacking a little bit of his journey. When we come back, I am going to get back to this rich young ruler thing he wrote, because it's one of my favorite passages.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about what he's doing in ministry now with this great loved self that he has now. And so we'll be right back right after this. Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000 by December 31st. And of 2016. And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to hisstoriespodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't believe there's anything too hard for God, And we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we are back with Mr. Brent Paulus, and I'm here with Kevin Michelin. This is His Stories Broadcast and Podcast, and we've been unpacking Brent's story. You talked about, we were last talking about God's love for you, for us. And I do want to get back on this rich young ruler thing that you wrote in your intake. How do you resonate with that story, and why does it hit you so hard?
Yeah, so this guy in this story, to me, is the epitome of what my life has looked like and would have certainly looked like had I pursued so many of the things that, you know, my flesh desired. Yeah. This guy is able, rich, young ruler. Like, what more does, you know, the world tell us we want than to be rich?
Yeah. Young.
Yeah. Young and to be over and controlling people. Like, ruling over things and possessions and people.
I'm sorry, Brent. Before you go on, you're rich?
No.
Because I was going to ask for a loan. I need a few bucks.
This is the way I could have gone.
Oh, okay.
But
could have gone.
Well, again, we'll get there. I actually, in some ways, am rich. But,
okay.
But this guy had it all. Like, everything that he could have wanted. And he knew the one. Like, so he asked Jesus one question. Like, how do I what? Inherit
eternal life.
Because what he couldn't do is guarantee eternal life. That's the one thing. No matter how hard he worked, no matter how kind of the power he gained, the riches that he gained, he could not guarantee eternal life.
Yeah. Right.
So he comes to Jesus with that question. And it's not only just this guy's story that I resonate with, but what's helped me is hearing Jesus' response to him saying, you've got to give it all up. And it's not just that you have to give it all up. It's who you got to give it to.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to give it to the poor, which are the people that had the complete opposite, probably work ethic that he did, or background that he
mindset.
Did. Mindset that he did. This guy probably, whether he realized it or not, his ability to have wealth and power at such a young age, he probably saw it as his own efforts. What he didn't realize, it was a means of grace that God had provided him. Like, that was all grace that God had given him. He had no control over the family he was born into. And that's in that day and age, you know, your family structure dictated how much wealth or power you had, especially at the age that he was.
Right.
Didn't matter how hard he worked. Like, some of that was something he couldn't have controlled. So what Jesus challenges him to do is to give it to people who God had not been on a human level so gracious with. However, you know, we all know, it's not about your wealth, your power, or your upbringing at all.
Sure.
It's God's love for you extends no matter what.
Right.
So that passage has always just resonated with me. And again, like my whole life, like I spent my early college years, high school years, pursuing this effort of how do I get my American dream? Like, how do I be a rich young ruler? Go back to age 11 on the farm. Tell
this
my parents I want to be in an air-conditioned office with my feet up, bossing people around. That's the rich young ruler right there.
Absolutely.
And it was only through a process of God starting to strip those things away and helping me see, Brent, these things won't bring you joy. Like, life with me will bring you joy. And if you have those things, you can find life with me in those things. But if you don't, your ability to have life and love for me doesn't change with or without any of those things.
Amen.
And it was as you started to take those things away that I began to just kind of cultivate an interest and pursue ministry, which is where God's got me at today.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. You're with Life Action Ministries. And so tell us a little about what you do there and what Life Action is all about.
Sure, yeah. So I, during college, I went on a couple of mission trips, and I had an accounting, I was halfway through my accounting degree, and I had no clue how to use accounting in ministry. Didn't seem like it was a fit at all. So I thought my options in ministry were, you know, missionary in Africa, church pastor, and those kind of careers. Well, accountant didn't fit into that model.
Right.
I go on a mission trip, oddly enough, with a group in Mexico. The missionary is a former accountant taking us on that. You believe in coincidence all you want. That's providence.
Yeah.
That's God's grace speaking to me through that whole encounter. But through that process, just really felt the call in my life to pursue ministry, but didn't feel the ability to kind of leave my vocational training and business. So I found an avenue at Life Action Ministries there in Buchanan, Michigan. Again, be able to stay in Michiana, which was great, to be able to use those skills. And as I was there, it was really the first time I remember seeing people whose faith like dramatically impacted the way they lived.
Mm.
And that sold me.
Yeah.
Life Action is always been about finding a revived life in Christ. It's been around for 40 years. Mm. I had no knowledge of what historical revivals were, no real understanding or experience with personal revival. Mm. But I came across with this ministry, and I was always asking myself this question after these mission trips. Why aren't the people I'm in the pews with on Sunday excited about moving the Great Commission forward? And then I get to this place and I'm going, that's what Life Action is doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's helping people take what they've always known about God and what they've heard about God in church into what they actually experience and live out in life because of God's love them. Not to earn anything, as we talked about before, not to earn God's favor in any sort of way, but God has loved us so much that kind of love should just continue to compel us forward to do love and good works to the people around us, to the world, and advance his kingdom here on the earth. And I'm excited to be a part of that each and every day, to go in and be able to do that in the ways I serve staff at Life Action in some pastoral care capacities and working with the staff in that way.
So how do they do that? What does Life Action do? How do you do that in a few seconds?
Revival happens in a couple of different ways. There's personal revival that we can all experience. And I hope you found that experience where God dramatically works in your heart and life in an individual way that you can't explain. At a point of great need for you, God just moves in and begins working your life that transforms your relationships with other people.
Right.
And we hope that happens. The second way he does that is sometimes he does that on a huge scale. Sometimes it's an entire church experience that, entire region, or in a lot of history, both in our country and beyond, certainly nationally, God actually moves in nations, in groups of people together to move about and bring about revival. And Life Action pursues both paths of that, individual revival and corporate revival, both in a nation and beyond that in the world. So
cool.
It's good to hear.
Well, I also wanted to ask you this. In being so involved with churches and individuals, so you get the full gamut of seeing this. Has there been a certain level of frustration? Because there's a dynamic of how people live their lives daily in the pew, as you say it. Right. And then there's putting that love into action. Is there a frustration that you experience when you see the dichotomy, the gap?
It's amazing. We didn't even talk about this, but if you were to ask me what I'm learning recently, our capacity as human beings to be both incredibly good and incredibly evil is astounding me right now.
Yeah.
Some of the most godly people I know at some capacity are also able to do things that just don't make any sense. And I look at my own life and go,
I'm sure as I was laughing.
How do I keep going back to these same things while also at other same points in my life going, I'm more in love with God than I ever have been. But you still find yourself inside each of us as human beings, as fallen creatures.
Yeah.
Where God is still redeeming us. Even with the spirit inside of us, there's still a capacity to be doing incredibly terrible things. And that's where the need for forgiveness is so critical.
Yes.
The need to also seek forgiveness and grant forgiveness. And that's why I think scripture reminds us about that so often. And Life Action, that's a key part of our messaging, especially in relationship
that's
with
great.
Each other, seeking forgiveness and granting forgiveness, because, again, we've got incredible capacity as human beings.
Yeah.
To be really great individuals, and then 3 minutes later, the most terrible person. And, my household could speak to that about me quite a bit. So
it's so funny. Jesus will look at Peter wow, yes, flesh and blood has not revealed this. Yes, you get it. And then later on, get behind me, devil. Yeah.
Get behind me, Satan. That's
right.
Exactly.
I say to myself, man, I could be called awesome and a jerk. All in the same day. Yeah.
Probably
by the same person.
10 minutes with each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, there's this process where I think is, again, being in ministry, that's the tension we face. Knowing that the incredible hope that God gives us to change a life. We've seen it. We've experienced God changing our
own
lives. While also realizing we're all a work in progress. And sometimes the people that we're trying to minister to have the greatest capacity to hurt us, to cause us emotional pain. The people that we're closest to obviously do that.
Sure.
Which is why, there should be a warning sign for anybody ready to enter the ministry. Danger, do you know what you're, do you really know what you're getting yourself into?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I think almost everybody I've talked to who've the course of their life have mm-hmm. stayed active in the faith, particularly active in ministry, they would all say, every moment of pain and heartache was worth
it's
it.
It's worth it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys could speak to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's, uh-huh. there's always friendly fire.
Always. I like that, Kevin, friendly fire.
And the thing is, though, is when you mentioned the forgiveness part, that there, I think, rings home not only with me, but many of those that are listening to this
yeah.
podcast or broadcast. But it's Jesus that the focus is to be on. Because if you don't have that, I just caught a glimpse of, you know, Facebook is great. It's also very one of those yeah. things where you just go, oh, you know,
yeah.
you shouldn't have put that on there. You know, yeah. And there's a gentleman who I love the ministry that he's doing. And I won't mention his name, okay?
Thank you.
Because he's a dear brother. Yeah, I won't do that. But I'm like, oh. And
why
I
are
actually,
you posting that?
Yeah, why are you posting that? Because I out of love, I send a little message just saying, you know, a scripture in Matthew talking about forgiveness, that if we're not willing to forgive,
yeah,
you know, is God Christ willing to forgive us? Yeah. And I did that not as somewhat of a stinging rebuke, but not I didn't mean it that way. But at the same time, it was simply a truth in love.
Yeah.
Just saying, okay, you know, because I would want that from my brother. If I posted something like that, to go, because it was hard. It was a very hard post that he put in there
yeah.
against another brother, against another organization. And I'm like, you're not helping with the whole John 17 unity thing here when that happens.
Right.
And that's friendly fire.
Yeah.
And it's damning.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts the unity of the church. And let me ask you this, as far as maybe this will springboard a little bit. Do you see that there could be revival in this land?
Wow, that's a loaded
question.
That's
a loaded question, and we only got a couple minutes.
Right? yeah. That's a great question. So that passage about the rich young ruler, Jesus asking, what do you want me to do for
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
There's another passage around that same place in the Gospels where the sons of thunder, you know, the brothers are coming to Jesus and saying, hey,
I love that.
Yeah. I want to be on the right and the left.
Yep.
These people had walked with Jesus, and they still didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still were confused on what Jesus' kingdom was about.
Right.
And they wanted all of these, really the same things that the rich young ruler did.
Mm.
They didn't get it. If the very disciples that walked with Jesus mm-hmm. kind of had that same kind of struggle, you know, it's going to be things that come up in the church body regularly too. I have incredible hope because mm-hmm. Jesus is on his throne. And walking through these points of pain with people in pastoral work has helped me to only love Jesus more.
Yeah.
To watch Jesus, to look at Jesus' life and go, in every situation, this guy responded out of love and care, you know, grace, love and truth. Like, he balanced that perfectly. When people needed truth, like the Pharisees, he gave it to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When the down-and-out people needed love, he gave it to them.
Right.
Balanced that perfectly. It's made Jesus more attractive to me. Mm. And because Jesus is so attractive and our culture is increasingly looking for things that are genuine and real and authentic, yeah. and Jesus is the only thing that's real and genuine and authentic that can be trusted,
mm-hmm.
I think there's great hope of revival today.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Maybe
Amen.
More than ever in our history.
Amen.
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 Wow.
I'm looking forward to that.
I don't think there's any better way to end our show than to do that.
Thank you.
Brent, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your insight, your testimony. Why don't you contact us, if you would, everyone out there, through Facebook and through our website, historiespodcast.com. And as you heard in the break, we're on a massive fundraising appeal to create a studio and do some other things to get the word out about this podcast on a greater level. So if you would, please indulge me in as we close out in prayer. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, Brent. You can look up lifeaction.org, I believe,
is
the website.
Yep, yep.
If you want more information about Life Action Ministries, and I don't know, might want to send a message to Brent just to say thank you for your testimony, or do it through our Facebook or what have you. So, Father, we just thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for sharing Brent's testimony. Thank you for the realness, the mm-hmm. authenticity of what you're doing in his life. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, his testimony would go out. It would reach hundreds and thousands and millions to affect them for the kingdom and for eternity. Yes. And we bless your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.
Mm-hmm. All right. In the time zone.
That went fast.
It did, didn't it?
We told you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.